This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Great Scott!
I got a bad feeling about this.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. You, me, or nobody is going to hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
Is your time. Now go out there and take it.
Han Solo, I've been waiting for this day for a long time.
Can't wait.
This is the Bart and Han Show on 98.7 ESPN.
It's 11 o'clock in the greatest city in the world. Alan Han, Bart Scott. Bart, I have a feeling today is going to be crazy caller day.
Yeah.
So why don't you give them the number?
The cycles are out. So let's go 1-800-919-3776. And I wonder, everybody's probably saying, hey, Bart, you don't have all that enthusiasm in your voice because you know why? I have scar tissue year in and year out.
I hosted
an event, and it was all about we're going to get Zion. And if we don't get Zion, we're going to get Ja Morant. Dud.
Yeah.
Year before, so
I was there.
Excuse me if I'm not overjoyed. I'm a little nervous, and I'm hoping, and I'm sure I won't find out for a long time if the Knicks have a steal, because nobody in this draft pops off the screen. But do they not pop off the screen because it was no NCAA tournament, so a star wasn't crowned? Or is it just that they're all bum-itis? I don't know. So if you can't get us there, catch us on the tweet. I'm not allowed to answer, but Alan can. And then, if you can't get us there, you can catch us on the Grizzly and Bart and Han. And if you can't get us there, guess who all of a sudden thinks he has reservations for the playoffs? Cam Newton's happy.
Chat or whatever it is.
Damn it, Bill. Did I cue you up, Bill? I wrote this show in five-part harmony. Bill, now you can tell them where else they can find us.
Snap face, instant chat or whatever it is.
You know what, Bill? If you're not going to do it the right way, I might consider having to go get Charlie Weiss or somebody to fill in for this spot. Now, if you want this damn job, you better act like you want it. So say it one more time. This time, say it with your chest.
Snap face, instant shot, or whatever it is.
Good enough. We got too much to talk to. The world wants to talk to Alan about basketball, the Knicks, the Nets, everything going on. So I'm going to let you pass on that one, Bill. But next time, you're going to get called up to the principal's office, and you may be written up for sabbatical, insubordination.
This is going to be that kind of day, man. Like, I tell you what, draft is a difficult day. You don't sleep the night before. This guy, like, you have all the machinations happening in your head, but this one more than ever. Because, like, there were drafts where you look at him and you're like, if this guy can fall to this, because we all know the Knicks never get the number one pick. You know, they never get there. You knew what was going to happen last year after the lottery. You knew RJ was there. You knew they were going to take RJ. You rest easy because you know that's what they were going to do. Like, you knew that. That's what was going to happen. Move on. This one's crazy because this one, there's so much potential. And here's the problem. You know why there's a lot of uncertainty in this draft? Because the team with the number one pick don't want it. That'd be Minnesota. The team with the number two pick, Golden State, they're still trying to trade it. And I said it last night on the MSG, we did our draft preview show. And I think I've said it on the show before, and I'm going to repeat it again. The Warriors did talk to the Knicks about the two pick. This was a while back.
What they want.
They asked for Mitchell Robinson.
I knew it was going to be Mitchell Robinson. They're looking for JaMale McGee.
Well, that's fine. They asked for Mitchell Robinson, and they asked for the eight. And they also wanted you not only to get the two pick, but you also had to take Andrew Wiggins off their hands. And Wiggins has, you know, a fairly large contract. He's got 3 years and $94 million left on his deal. Now, he's still a young player.
That's not bad.
But no.
He's not a great player.
He's not a great fit. To me, I don't know if I love that. I don't love that at all.
His effort level with Thibodeau?
You know those two also worked together once before. So if they said no to that, it tells you what Tibbs really thinks of the kid, even though they've said all the right things publicly. But let me just digress. That was an option, and that was tabled. Okay? That doesn't mean that can't be revisited, everybody. Like, the Warriors have no idea, but I know one thing, and I've talked to people. They don't want Let me see. And they probably would take LaMelo. They would probably take LaMelo Ball. Anthony Edwards' kid is amazing. I've never seen somebody do all he can to absolutely destroy his draft value and yet still be somebody that will probably go number one.
He did it to go to the Knicks.
He had a bad workout. He has not the best attitude. Like this dude, but he's got so much physical potential. People can't help it. They fall in love with it. And they feel like if I can't pass on a guy like that. Oh, yes, you can.
Isaiah Thomas did. I heard Isaiah Thomas talking to Shannon Sharpe the other day. He said how him and Mark McGwire was conspiring to get together and play for the Chicago Bulls. So he messed up all his workouts on purpose. And the Pistons was like, we know what you're doing.
Yeah.
It ain't going to work. We still take you at number two.
Yeah, because
maybe he's doing that
guys.
Because he want to be. So maybe he want to do that to be with the Knicks.
No.
Oh, okay.
So
I can drink.
So there's that. So just understand, at the very top of this draft, there's so much uncertainty. That's why you're seeing what you're seeing. And so let me just tell you quickly. So everybody knows they reported on DCR just a few minutes ago. The Knicks did make a trade today as we figured they were going to do it. And I don't think they're done. So they had the 27 and they had the from the Clippers and they had the 38 pick as well, which is in the second round. They packaged those and they made a trade with Utah for the 23 pick. So now they don't have a second round pick, whatever. They do have now 8 and 23. Now, wait a minute. You move from 27 to 23? Is it that big of a deal? Yeah, it is in a draft like this where there's really not a lot of talent, but there's opportunity. You have a lot of 3 and D wings. You've got a lot of older players, 20-year-olds, 21-year-olds, guys who have played two or more years in college, where a lot of other drafts, you're taking these one-and-done 19-year-olds. There's not a lot of Europeans in this draft. You're not seeing a lot of international players in this draft. There's two that you're going to probably see go in the first round, but after that, it really isn't a lot. So normally you have like a lot of excess of players that you think can just step in and you'd be excited about. This isn't that draft. So that's why Golden State wants, they're trying to move out. They want somebody that's more in their timeline. You always talk about this, Bart. You talk about this with what you saw deals in the NFL, like the Khalil Mack trade, right? Jamal Adams trade. It's like we're not on the same timeline. Well, the Warriors certainly are not on the timeline to take a guy like LaMelo Ball. It doesn't make sense for them. They need more of a older 3-and-D type come off the bench for them, plug in and fit what they need. Because they don't really need, the only starter they need is a big man who can defend the rim and guard Anthony Davis and Jokic. You know, look at the West. They need people. They need somebody that can guard them. They don't have that. Draymond's 6'6".
Yeah.
Right? They got what's his name? Eric Pascal, the kid from...
Yeah.
Well, was from Fordham. Sorry, Anthony.
But man, you just have to do it, don't you?
I had to bring up Pascal. But they have... Like, and he's like... What is he? 6'8", 6'9"? Like, they don't have enough size.
So they need Mitchell Robinson.
So they need a big. And he fits perfectly because he's also very cheap
Super cheap, though. That's the crazy part.
I'd hate to trade a guy like that. You found him. But still, if you move up and get the two, well, there's a 6'10", 6'7 foot kid who's got a lot of polish. He's 19. That fits your timeline. He's younger in James Wiseman. And I could tell you, they love him. Now, can they do it? I don't know. But that's one option. That's only one, though, Bart. There's a lot of options here. That's one. Now, what I'm not doing is taking the Wiggins contract, though.
Yeah.
I'll have to tell him, look, if I'm not taking the Wiggins contract.
You're giving him a cheap player in return.
But I'm giving you eight and Mitch.
Contract.
Yeah, I'm not. So if you want me, I'll take somebody else. Give me Pascal then. I'll bring him home. You know, like something like that. Like whatever it is. But I'm not taking that contract. That's what I'm not going to do.
Now, tell me this, Alan. And I'm sorry I can't see you.
But if you're the Warriors, I'm sorry. Just let me finish it. So if you're the Warriors, you still get eight. So you get Mitch, who's a starter and an all-defense type of player. You get the eighth pick, so you can still get a guy like Vassell. You can get a guy. You can get Nesmith, who get one of the 3-and-D types.
That's high
fair, percentage
right?
Three-point shooters. Fits exactly what you need to do. And now you have... A young player comes off your bench who's still about 21, 22 years old, who can shoot threes and defend, and a big man who helps you. That makes more sense than you taking a 19-year-old who's not ready to play at number two. So go ahead. That's my first scenario.
Okay,
I got a few more.
So first scenario, is that unfair? Because it looks like the Warriors will be getting cheap players in return and perfect fits, but in turn, the Knicks would... So, would the Warriors take on some of that salary to make sure that it can balance up a little better?
What salary?
Would they do that? I'm saying if you're going to take Wiggins.
No, they can't. You can't do that in the NBA, unfortunately.
Oh, you can't do that.
No, see, no, that's where you can't do something like that where you agree to pay some, or you know, it's not like the NFL where you can do a deal like that. That doesn't work. When you trade a contract, you trade a contract. Like, that's it. And I just don't love it. It's a 3-year with $94 million left for a guy that, you know,
that's 30 million.
Not a great value above replacement, almost minuscule, and a mediocre to bad 3-point shooter. He can have streaky moments.
Yeah.
But mediocre to bad is a 3-point shooter, and he and Tibbs have been together before. And if the Knicks don't jump at getting a guy like him, meaning Tibbs knows him, oh, I love this kid, I want to coach him again. If that's not the case, which we've seen, you know, some evidence that even though they say the right things publicly, privately there's a different story. Then I can't imagine that they'd want to revisit that. Okay, so to me, you know, the scenario would have to be for the Warriors what I just gave them. You're getting a starter who's very affordable, and you're also getting the 8th pick, so you're still in the top 10 for a player that can fit for you immediately and make an impact. So they've got to think about that. Now, Boston's trying to do the same thing because Boston apparently loves Wiseman as well. And Boston also wants to get a cheaper young big that they can develop, and maybe that's what they want to do. So Boston's trying to get, and Boston has the 14, 26, and 30 pick, and they're trying to move Hayward. So, you know, that's the other thing. If you can't go to 2, you can try to work with Boston and say, well, I'll tell you what, you give us 14, we'll give you 23, and you give us, we'll take Hayward off your hands, and we'll put him into our cap, so you're not even, so you get cap space now, and you can go ahead and make a move for DJ Augustine or one of those guys you want to get in free agency.
Yeah.
So we're helping you, but you got to help me. Give me 14. Now with 14, I got 8 and I got 14. I'm pretty excited about that now because now I can get 2 players that are young that can help me. Plus, I got Hayward on a 1-year because he'll pick up his option for the 1 year, and then I'll let him walk and I get the cash.
And if you play good, if you play well during the trade deadline, maybe you can trade him.
See? There you go, Bart. Exactly. So there's that.
I think I like that.
There's that. Now, there's still more. I mean, there's a lot of different scenarios for the Knicks to consider that they could do. Now, I know a lot of people are going to say, well, what about the whole Russell Westbrook stuff? You know, the fact that the Rockets already made a trade with Covington, they got 2 first-round picks, including one this year, they should be pretty comfortable now, right? Like, okay, we're not desperate for picks. That is not true. I still think you could help them if you want that contract, but I'm not going to waste a lot of breath on it because I don't feel like that's a priority anymore. I think it was looked into, and I think that's about it. I don't see it's going to go any deeper. Now, let me just reset everything. Again, 800-919-3776. Ian Begley from SNY is going to join us at 11:30, and he'll give us the latest out of his notebook about what he's hearing involving the Knicks and the NBA and the draft. I'm going to tell you this, though, Bart. This is going to be one of those kind of nights. Like, this is going to be, you know, I've made the reference to draft day, the Sonny Weaver kind of thing. Like, if it's not the Knicks, and it could be, it's going to be somebody that puts a couple of picks together and suddenly jumps in top 5. Now, I've checked. Charlotte would be open to trading, but doesn't really want to. Chicago's at 4. They would be open to trading. They're also a team that they like a couple of players at 4, but they're players they could also get at 8. Mm. So, you know, again, what are you going to offer them? What are you going to do for them to jump ahead? They might consider it. So Chicago's a team at 4. You might have to get ahead of Detroit if there's a player you really like. And a player, another name I'll give you. Because I told you, they like Wiseman a lot, the Knicks. What they really like is Obi Toppin.
Ah, that's who I love.
And that's a kid. Now, he's from Brooklyn originally. His dad was Dunkers Delight, who is a big-time streetball, you know, superstar. Played at Rucker a lot, you know, just back in the day. And Obi was, he went to high school, played up in Ossining for a bit, and then did prep, and has been a great story as far as somebody that just emerged from a skinny high school kid to basically player of the year.
He grew. I think he heard his stock, and he was a player of the year, right?
He was player of the year, and just so it's again like if you want to jump up into just jump ahead of a team that you're worried about, whether it's Detroit, you know, you got to see who's a team that would want to take him. I don't think Atlanta, you know, I think Atlanta's trying to get Hayward too, and they would use the 6 there. Cleveland, I don't think, would be in on top. And so I think Detroit's a team I would worry about with Obi. I think Chicago would be another team you'd worry about with Toppin. But if you want to get him, you might have to get ahead of somebody, and this is how you do it. You get a couple, like you get a more valuable pick at 23, and you see if you can make a deal. So those are the I know that everybody knows the name LaMelo Ball. In this draft, you don't know anyone, but you know that name because of the Ball family. LaMelo Ball is not somebody I think.
For your shoes?
Well, I'm, yes, you're right. even he went, I think he went to Puma, right? Didn't he go to Puma?
Yeah.
So LaMelo Ball is not somebody I see anyone trading up for. So those are the names, those scenarios. There's a lot more to talk about because there's cap space involved. There's free agency that opens on Friday that you also have to keep in mind. And again, the potential of trade. So there's a lot going on today, Bart. A lot. It's been. I was up at five, and I went to bed at about 2.
The NBA,
especially after Maxion last night, man. Oh my god!
And we still haven't talked about Cole Anthony either.
I love Cole. I don't see him landing with either New York team.
Wow.
Yeah, I love him though. I love the kid. His game is a bit away. It would have probably been better for him to stay in college.
Tell me if you get 14 and 8, would you consider maybe getting him with 14?
Here's the problem. You've got Dennis Smith Jr., you've got Frank, if you're going to get a point guard, you need somebody that's going to come in and compete with them and take the job, because right now your starting point guard is Dennis Smith Jr. in reality. Depth chart wise, that's your starting point guard. It's like when we talk about quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Look at your roster. All right, Elfrid Payton is a team option. It's a club option, which I highly doubt you would keep. $8 million for a guy that, you know, just doesn't really stay healthy and doesn't move the needle. So Dennis is on the last year of his deal, and you're trying to get his value up. So you'd probably want to get him right, get him in a right system, get him in shape, and then see if he could play well. So he's, right now, de facto, your starting point guard. Can I draft somebody better than him? So, again, Bart, this is one of those days where my head is spinning.
You're in your bag, man. You coming up with all these scenarios, plots. I feel like you, the beautiful mind, and you got the entire equation on the board, and you run
literally
out of space.
That's what's going on.
And you're running out of space.
Board that is covered with all kinds of notes and stupidity and ideas and what you can do here and what you could do there. I tried to put together. How about this? It was about 5:30 this morning. I at one point had a scenario on a board where the Knicks would acquire Russell Westbrook and Gordon Hayward.
Oh.
Right? No, listen. And add Marcus Morris with cap space, because of the way you can trade some players who are on club option deals, where you trade them and then it's basically you don't pick up, then you decline the option, and then it's like a partial guarantee, so the receiving team, they don't really have to spend a lot of money. And then, of course, you could send cash considerations in these deals, which covers some of the partial. So I put all that together, and I'm thinking to myself, how crazy is that starting lineup? Right? Like, you could have a starting lineup. How about this? You could have a starting lineup where it's Russell Westbrook, RJ Barrett, Gordon Hayward, Obi Toppin, Mitchell Robinson.
Did you talk about Willis?
And I'm looking at it, and I'm going, no, Nick Fan.
Does not compute.
No, Nick
Fan. Does not compute. Does not compute.
Zero chance that's going to happen. Let's get some calls. Like I said, Ian Begley's going to join us bottom of the hour. He'll give us the latest what he's hearing. 800-919-3776. Let's see. Let's go to Chris Paul's in Harlem. CP, what's up, man?
Hey, what's happening, fellas? What's happening?
What's Gucci?
Listen, I got to let you know, man. Y'all my boys. Y'all my boys for real.
I feel a butt.
I say that, I mean from the intro to the I holla. Now check this out. I got some inside info for you.
Oh, barbecue.
All right.
Oh,
it's going
talk.
Back. It's going back a little bit, so you got to be open-minded and just give me a second.
All right.
There used to be a player for the Knicks called Bernard King.
Of course.
Bernard King's aunt name was Miss Rudolph. They named after that deer. Now, what happened, Bernard King put the Knicks on his back, carried them, and then they did them dirty.
Yes.
And Miss Rudolph put the roots on them.
Ah.
The Knicks ain't never going to do well, and it hurts me to my heart because I'm from Harlem. That's my team. So, And I just feel so bad. They never going to let Miss Rudolph ain't going to take that curse off the Knicks for doing that.
I need to talk to Miss Rudolph. Where can I find her?
Does she know Harpo?
Louisiana.
I need to get in touch with her because if she's aware of what happens today, Bernard King, the Knicks take very good care of Bernard King. He's in the organization now. They take care of him. He's paid. He does appearances. They help him promote his book and everything else. Like, they take great care of Bernard King. So I think Miss Rudolph, Bart, needs to understand that it's time to lift the curse.
Everything you've done to me, I've done to you. Ain't no good gonna come about you.
By the way,
come on, pull it off, Whoopi.
Is that not a harbinger for what kind of call we're gonna get today? Didn't I tell you this?
He said it was a root. I thought he's gonna. I love him to death. Hit us with some basketball. Now he just says straight up root.
I love it. I want all the crazy today.
Burn the sage.
Pierre in Putnam. What you got for me today, Pierre?
What's up, fellas? What's up, Bart? What up, baby? How you feeling?
What's good? I'm. I don't know what I'm feeling. I'm numb right now.
All right. So listen, I love the show. I love you guys. It's my third time on. Loving everything, except your take on my Brooklyn Nets and this James Harden deal yesterday. I almost spit up my breakfast when I heard your take, Han.
What'd I say?
I had to call in early to holler at you about
good.
That.
Good, good. Remind me though. What was the bad take that I said about James Harden and the Nets?
That'd be beautiful basketball.
You made it seem like the Nets must make this trade. Like it's like make it happen. We got to get this guy. And I'm here to tell you that Kyrie Irving and James Harden cannot work together. There's only one basketball, bro.
Well, they have to make it work. Well, first of all, just so you know, Pierre, Kyrie wants this too. Like, they've been working out in L.A. for, like, the last couple of months. They want this. So they want it to happen. And I'm telling you, when you have a chance to have three superstars on your roster, look at NBA history in the last 10 years, you will win a title. So you do it. That's why you do it. You take the title, and you don't apologize for it. Take the title and run.
All right. Listen, Hunt, I respect you. And that science you just dropped on the woeful Knicks, that was some real talk. So I want to disagree without being disagreeable.
I take though. I appreciate
Kyrie
it.
Look, Irving,
you just don't want to see
he's
it.
Okay. Yeah, no, he's okay right now saying I'm down for James Harden. This man wasn't down being LeBron's number two after getting a chip. If James Harden comes, he is now number three.
I got a call.
He's now number three.
Ooh, he's Bosh? He's Bosh. He's the one that's got to give up his game.
Pierre's not wrong. If you're going by ability. If you're going by ability, I can't deny that. I can't deny it. But if you want a ring, there's a lot of things you'll do for a ring. There's a lot you'll do. Pierre, it sounds like Pierre just doesn't want to see it.
Right. But It should work. They got 2 years to win two championships, and then they can go be the man wherever they want to be after that.
What the matter? What do you mean be the man? Do you understand the let's just look at it this way. Do you understand the value of winning a title your way? Yeah. There's something about that when you do it your way. Like, I wanted this, so we came here, chose this team, and then they did everything we told them to do. So guess who gets all the credit when they win? You think Sean Marks would be like,
yeah,
Sean, good job listening to what Kyrie and KD told you to do.
Yeah, he was
like, no offense to Sean Marks, but essentially, yeah. Steve Nash, they're going to be like, Steve Nash, coach of the year, what a job. No. These guys came in and basically said, this is what we want. You gave them what they wanted, and they win. So who gets all the credit? They will, as the players. As the players, they get all the credit.
So it's Pat Riley in this scenario? It's no Pat Riley?
This ain't Pat Riley. No. This is no Pat Riley. No. This is not Pat Riley. This is like when the Lakers won the championship. Even though everybody wanted to give Rob Pelinka all the credit publicly, Rich Paul was the one that was the true MVP.
Yeah.
He's the one that got all that to happen. And we all know that.
It's going to be that type of day, Alan. It's that type of day.
I'm feeling it. Yeah, I'm definitely feeling it. So on the Bart and Han Twitter feed, we have a poll. Anthony's very proud of his poll. He likes to display it.
Phrasing.
Especially in the morning.
Phrasing.
I'm just saying what he tells me. He says in the morning, his polls are probably the most impressive. He said this poll that is up now already has 141 votes. Nice. I got to retweet it. Let me do that real quick. Retweet. There it is. And anyway, so what we have here is, here's a breakdown real quick. I'm moving fast on this, really. This is exciting.
That's funny.
And we'll get to Begley. Begley has nothing to do, right? He's not, nothing going on right now.
Yeah, nothing to see here.
Yeah. Anyways, the poll's up. It just gives you basically what player, you know, there's four choices. Would you want to see the Knicks come finish the day with? Let's just leave it like that. Ian Begley would have some idea. His notebook is already filled with all types of possibilities. You could see him on the Putback with Ian Begley on SNY.
They I heard that's a pretty good show. I heard that's
noon.
One of the best shows out there, I heard.
Yeah, well, Bart's an SNY guy, so he can.
Yeah, we all
that.
Got excited when Cohen got there, hoping that we all gonna get a raise.
Yeah, Bagels, have you talked to Cohen yet? Have you asked him about a raise?
Surprisingly, he hasn't checked in with me. I've heard he does like the Putback, but we'll have to wait and see, when we hit the table to see how it all goes. But I appreciate the kind words, fellas. How are you guys?
All right. We're good. Busy day. So again, noon, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube pages for SNY. You can see Bagels in all his glory. And so your big board right now, number 8. Now, is this in order, like power ranked when I read this? Like, so the first name is the most likely in your mind?
Yeah, honestly, I think I did it like Monday, and I it's so old.
But they just tweeted it.
I know. Like,
you did it Monday. It's ain't fresh.
Let me say this, Hans. Can I give you a live update to my big board? Can we do that?
Yes, yeah, let's do it. Live. Go ahead. You give me then your big board right now. Give me your top 5 players that you think the Knicks are going to take.
Can't wait.
All right, so I think if Toppin is there,
yep,
he's at the top of my board. I don't know if he'll be there, though. I mean, because obviously there's interest in him ahead of the Knicks. And then, you know, I had Haliburton up there, but more recently I had heard that there was kind of mixed opinions on him. And so because of that, I wonder if they go Devin Vassell there. If he's available, I have heard from some people, at least, I don't think it's a uniform opinion, that he's a little bit ahead of Okoro because of the shooting.
Yeah.
Because he showed that he could shoot it at Florida State. Okoro, you know, you're going to have to work on his shot. Mm. And then if you go guard, then I think Haliburton and Hayes are kind of right there. Kyra Lewis Jr., I know he has fans over there. I think it'll be a little bit of a reach.
Yeah.
But it would be an interesting pick, an intriguing pick to me if they took him in. I think that's 5, guys. Did I give you 5?
You gave me 6 because you added Kyra, but that's all right. Yeah,
who's counting?
It's all good. So let's begin, though, with the trade they made today of just basically moving up 4 spots late in the first by giving up their second round in number 38 and the 27 they get from the Clippers. They packaged that. They moved to 23 with Utah. What are you reading from a move like that, which seems like I'll give you my take and then you tell me what you think.
Yeah.
Moving up 4 spots before you know who's even on the board or off the board by that. Normally this is a trade you make during the draft as you see how it's setting up. To make this trade before the draft even begins, it sort of got my spidey senses tingling. You know what I mean, Bagels? I was like, all right, so there's got to be something more to this than just they're targeting a player who could be there at 23. What do you think?
1,000%. And, you know, that's why before you became a big radio star, you were a great reporter. Because my spidey senses
were
tingling as well. And earlier in the week, you know, I'd heard from a couple teams ahead of the Knicks that they knew or they felt that the Knicks were still considering the possibility of moving up. So I put that with today's news, and I think that possibility is still there. I think that the Knicks are still going to explore those opportunities. And then when you look at this trade, you know, it's possible that a team ahead of the Knicks said, 28 doesn't really do it for us. So, mm-hmm. I mean, 27 doesn't really do it for us. Can you move up? Can you strengthen the package? So I have to think that that's at least a possibility here. I know that, like all other teams, right, the Knicks were scheduled to meet today to go through, you know, scenarios. And I also think, though, that there are players in that 23 to 27 range that some people over there liked. So, you know, maybe they got intel that their guy wasn't going to be there at 27. But I think the more likely scenario is they at least continue to explore the possibility of moving up. And that probably is what motivated this deal.
Is it any movement that may take place as far as players for draft picks now? Could we see some moves you know, with current players that maybe potentially give us an indication of what teams are thinking as far as in the draft tonight?
Well, I think if you're going to move up, right, the price, it may drop before we get to 8 o'clock because deadlines tend to spur action. But, you know, I think you'd have to put some players in a deal if you're the Knicks and you're trying to move up. I don't think just 8 and 23 is going to get it done. So that's, you know, that's one possibility, of course. And I think in any scenario, like teams talk about the Hawks being open, they would, I believe, you know, want a player back in a trade for a pick. So that's obviously, when you're talking about moves ahead of the draft, certainly players are going to be involved because it's less likely to be just a pick swap.
Bengals, do you think we'll see something at the top of this draft? I mentioned Golden State has been trying to shop that pick. I don't think it's a secret around the league. They've been doing that for a while. I think they still are, even to this day, trying to move that pick to get a player that can... I think they'd rather have a pick a little bit later where they can take somebody that fits sort of their timeline. You know, and a top three pick, none of those guys fit their timeline as far as can play right away, can make a difference, come off the bench, that kind of thing. So can you see something, or have you heard enough to believe that something could happen at the very top of this draft today that suddenly now flips everything?
I don't think the teams at the top are particularly confident or in love with the picks. Like, you want a sure thing at the top, and I've gotten the impression that, you know, after doing their homework, I think they've become more comfortable with some of the guys at the top. But, you know, I don't think anybody's sitting there sleeping easy last night at the top of the draft. So I say that to say, I think that there's going to be, again, continued conversation there. The interesting thing when you talk about Golden State is the guys that they've worked out. They've worked out guys at the top of the draft, but they've also worked out some players, you know, in the 8 to 10 range there. So Devin Vassell in particular and a few others, which it leads you to believe that they're at least considering the possibility of moving down. And the interesting thing there is, you know, obviously the Knicks can't provide Golden State that veteran that they would be looking for in a trade. They're trying to win now. They want a player that helps them win now. Knicks can't do that. But one thing they could do is take on Andrew Wiggins' salary in a three-team deal. So that's just something that I kind of consider as we move along here.
Why wouldn't you think about Mitchell Robinson there if you're the Warriors?
Is he ready? Like, you're turning a championship. Is he ready?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
Defensively, with those guards? Absolutely. You don't think if you put him on that team, you've got somebody now that can contend with Anthony Davis and Jokic and guys like that. Like, you have some bigs that you've got to be able to play against. You know, Porzingis. Like, you've got somebody that in the West where they have big, you know, there are some talented bigs. He can defend, and you don't need him to do much other than defend, rebound, and be in pick and roll.
That's fair. I had heard that some people over there are intrigued by him. The thing that I wonder, though, is he's not, you know, battle tested. You're not going to find a bigger Mitchell Robinson fan than me, but I would definitely have concerns if I was Golden State about his, you know, foul trouble, foul issues, things like that. So I don't know if that would be the guy that moved the needle for them.
That's fair. What are you hearing? I know you got to run because you got your show starting in a little bit. What are you hearing just free agency wise? Since obviously once this is over, boom, we jump right now into a Friday free agency. I mean, this is I can't imagine what this week's like for you with trades beginning on Monday, the draft in the middle of the week, and then free agency begins on Friday. So first, quickly, Knicks, do you expect they're going to do anything where they just have to trade and absorb into cap space? Or do you think, you know, is there a Fred VanVleet in their future? Like, what are you hearing?
Before I get to that, I just want to say also, in addition to the NBA stuff, I have my wife's birthday and my son's second birthday coming up next week. So this is Adam
Silver.
My
wife's birthday's tomorrow,
no favor.
So I know you're saying, yeah.
No time. So,
no time to sleep.
With regard to the, what'd you say?
No, I just said no time to sleep. That's all. Go ahead.
No. Or get presents. But anyway, with regards to VanVleet, I would expect him. If I would bet that he ends up back in Toronto. So I don't think he'll be an option for the Knicks. I don't think they would have come over the top with the kind of offer it would have taken to get him away from Toronto. That's just my read on it. I might be wrong. And then, you know, with regards to Joe Harris, I think if the market was at a certain price for him, I think the Knicks would have interest. But I was told that even with the strong interest from Charlotte and Atlanta and other teams on Joe Harris. The teams that are kind of poking around on Harris all expect him to re-sign with Brooklyn on a multi-year deal, nice deal. So I don't think he'll be available. Christian Wood, expect him to go back to Detroit. So I would think that because of the landscape out there, I mean, it depends on the Russell Westbrook trade if that happens. But let's say that doesn't happen. I would expect then the Knicks to be more active in maybe trying to absorb a contract that a team wants to get off of and picking up some veterans to put around whoever they draft and the young guys and kind of taking it from there.
Yeah. All right. And quickly, just give me a number percentage-wise that James Harden is on the Nets roster for opening night.
Just Google it. I'm going to say 40, and I'm going to say why, only because I think with the Nets, you have to worry about if it's hanging over you this season, that Harden trade, you have to wonder about how it impacts your locker room. We saw it with the Lakers and Anthony Davis a couple years ago.
Great stuff, Bagels. I know you got to get to your show. SNY has it. The Putback, you can see it on all their social media. Have a great time, my man. I'll talk to you later on today.
I appreciate it, fellas. Take care.
So our Jonathan Givony reporting that a guy that's considered a top 10 pick is Onyeka Okongwu, and he has a fractured toe. I know.
Shot me in a pinky toe.
You're looking at it, like, basically this is something that happened in October. Like, it's such a long pre-draft process, right? Like, that you figure, but this was back in October. I guess probably one of the workouts, you know, something freakish happened, and they were looking at about a two-month recovery, so you figure that's going to take you to training camp. They think he's got at least another 1 to 3 weeks. So it shouldn't affect his ability to play right away, but it's, you know, if you're a team drafting, you might now go, well, maybe not. He's a kid, 19-year-old, one and done out of USC. But he's supposed to be a top 10 pick. Nice player with a lot of potential, 3-and-D potential. So just to update you certainly on that. But as we're talking draft, there's also a lot of trade rumors going on out there as well, as there always is. So let me just like quickly try to get through some of this stuff, as, of course, this portion of the show is brought to you by your local Lexus dealer. The Lexus ES now available with all-wheel drive, give you control and confidence to take on almost anything. Experience amazing. See your Lexus dealer. So, Bart, if I gave you, I'm going to give you three names. You tell me which one you're most interested in hearing about. You ready?
Okay. Yep.
All right. Gordon Hayward, Zach LaVine, Bradley Beal. Who do you want to hear about the most?
Ooh, this is tough because I like.
You know what? I don't know.
I like some Zach LaVine. But Bradley Beal is just a better player. I don't know if he just, after John Wall went down, he was almost like an MVP candidate, but they just don't win any games. So let's hear about Bradley Beal.
Bradley Beal's that guy like that's been on a bad team for a while that you're dying to see on a good team. Like, you'd give anything to see him on a good team, right?
Yes.
Like, that's who he is. Well, the Wizards would like to be that good team, of course. They don't want to trade him, but they also don't want to say no to something if somebody's ready to get, you know, let's get nuts. So would somebody, you know, how much would somebody want to offer for Bradley Beal? There are teams asking, but those teams, of course, are contenders. And most contenders, they don't really have a lot of assets to give. And to take on a big contract, you're going to have to take a contract back. The Wizards so far have been, you know, just kind of swatting away different offers. Philly is a team very much interested in getting him. And we've heard that Brooklyn was very interested in him, but now their focus is all on getting James Harden. So Bradley Beal sort of become that, you know, like, you remember, you know, it's now you're my ex-girl, I'm on to the next girl.
Yeah.
Like, that's what basically is going on here in that conversation. Who do you want to hear next then, LaVine or Gordon Hayward?
LaVine.
Zach LaVine. Zach LaVine had he played with Tibbs in Chicago, and it's a guy that some people thought maybe Tibbs want to make a trade for him. Actually, in Minnesota, I should say. And actually ended up trading him
Didn't he send him away right after he came?
Yeah, but still, he really likes him, though. Really likes him, but it was to get Jimmy Butler. But LaVine is a guy that could be on the move, but once again, it's only if the Bulls, who have the fourth overall pick, only if they can get something really exciting. Like, they'd want to get something that's a game changer for them. It's a big contract. They wouldn't mind getting out of it, but they like him enough to feel like, you know, we'd like to build with him. But again, if somebody wants to be stupid, you know, and give us something crazy, overpay, then we'll do it. So there's rumors about him, and guess what? The Sixers also would love to be involved in that. So Philly's trying to do some stuff.
Right. How's Philly we know Daryl Morey, he's always the transactional type of guy.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to figure out, like,
Zach LaVine? Are they trying to get rid of Tobias Harris? Who they don't get rid of in return?
Well, yeah, the Tobias thing is what the biggest issue there is. They sort of feel, I remember now, it's you know, sort of a new regime now. Tobias is somebody that now the contract just doesn't make sense with Ben Simmons, with Embiid. So that's, nobody's doing it.
Weird fitting stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think anybody's going to want to take that contract, and Philly doesn't have much to offer to entice you to do it. So, you know, it's not much happening. But that's another name that people have been calling about and kicking around. You hear that name a lot, but nothing really going on there. All right, you didn't pick Hayward, but I'm going to tell you about him anyway real quick. Hayward is an interesting story because he's got that $34 million option that he was supposed to pick up yesterday, but the Celtics, Woj reported this, that Celtics then gave him until tomorrow. They extended the deadline till tomorrow. Now, why would they do that? It's obvious. Because they wouldn't mind moving him. Now, the question is, do you trade him to a team that wants him as an expiring contract, or do you trade him to a team like the Hawks would actually be willing to do a sign-and-trade? So, depending on where they would send him, would be whether or not he'd pick up his option or not. So you could see them packaging a pick and moving the contract. And therefore, it's either Gordon Hayward opts out and does a sign and trade, or he opts in for the 1 year and then gets sent to that team and then obviously would move on to become a free agent. So that's why they gave him this extra time. So it suggests that they were kind of hoping that maybe he could be involved. Remember, they have three picks. They have 14, 26, and 30. And I even thought about I would move the 8 for those three picks. They want to be in the top 10. I'll take three picks. Especially 14, you can still get a good player at 14, but yet, you know, again, you're trying to build up your franchise. You want extra picks. So keep an eye on that. Like, I'll take the contract and your picks, and I'll give you 8. So they have some options there. So that's why you watch Boston. Danny Ainge is always trying to wheel and deal, and Hayward could be involved in some way in this.
Don't miss Bart Scott and Alan Hahn. Weekdays at 11 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN.